We just found out from Doug's teaching what the light is. And it is who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. Unapproachable light. You also know the song, immortal, invisible, God only wise. God is immortal, invisible. Unapproachable light. Did you know, any of you know, that light is invisible? Light is invisible. You cannot see light. You say, what do you see? If we were in a dark room and we had a flashlight outside the room, shining through the room into a room that was door open on the other side, you had to look across in this dark room. You couldn't see the light. The light is invisible. You'll only see it if it picks up some dust. Then you see the dust. But space is dark. Everything between here and the sun is dark because light is invisible. But it shows up things that it shines on. The source of light is not invisible, but the transmission of light is invisible. Well, in this case, it says that he is invisible. The source of light is. But my favorite verse in the New Testament is 1 John 1:5. If I could write poetry like I'd like to write poetry, I would write one on 1 John 1:5. I want to explode with this. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no darkness at all. To illustrate, we are in a lighted room, but there's darkness in this room. How do we know? We can go outside. There's more light out there. And outside there's darkness out there. How do we know? Because we can find a place with more light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. We talked about confession of sin the other day, but if you go through this 1 John, the next four verses, I want you to think of it this way. There are three good verses and three bad verses, every other verse. The three good verses are verses 5, 7, and 9, and the three bad verses are 6, 8, and 10. You can spend your time later on looking why the ones are good and the others are bad. 5, 7, and 9 are good verses. 6, 8, and 10 are bad verses. Okay, first, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Second, one of the next good verses, it says, if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light. How is he in the light? No darkness at all. So we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, zero darkness. What happens if we're walking in the light as he is in the light? And if we, plural, we as a group of believers are walking in the light as he is in the light, what's going to happen with us? We're going to have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. The word purify is keeps on cleansing. It's a continual event. Walking in the light doesn't mean we do not sin. It does mean that as soon as sin occurs, we're conscious of it and it gets cleansed. Because it says the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from all sin if we're walking in the light. Two things happen. A continual cleansing and continual fellowship with one another. But we both have to be in the light for this fellowship. And we both have to have our sins completely cleansed, continually cleansed to have fellowship. And we're having fellowship with one another. And the other thing, back up in verse 3, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. So, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So the fellowship is with each other and with the Father because we're walking in the light where there's no darkness at all. When we are walking in the light and no darkness at all, several things happen. One is I mentioned the other night about being Isaiah, I think I did, Isaiah 6, where he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. He said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Are you more likely to be conscious of sin when you're in the light, or more conscious of sin if you're in the darkness? In the light. And Isaiah was cleansed immediately. Also, walking in the light doesn't mean you do not sin, but it does mean it's normal to be obedient. Well, we're going to be talking, I think, some on obedience more, so I try not to get too sidetracked. Okay, how to walk in the light. First, I want you to recognize there is a light out there that does those things. It causes constant fellowship and causes continual cleansing. And we have been in a mode where we sin for a while and get clean. Sin for a while and get clean. Sin for a while and get clean. That's a Christian mode. It happens at conferences. It happens at certain revival meetings. We collect sins for a while and then we get clean. We collect them for some more while and then get clean. And that's not walking in the light. Walking in the light, continually conscious and continually cleansed. And between the sins that are going to get continually cleansed, we are just normally obedient. So walking in the light means we are more normally obedient, and when we are disobedient, we're brought up short right now, and it gets cleansed right now. Okay, how to walk in the light? I'm going to repeat it. There is a light that you can walk in. I mean, you don't have to go through. The scripture says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither do they come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And that's what will happen. Your deeds will be reproved. So when you walk in the light, you're asking to be reproved. You're asking to... You've all, probably most of you, have had children. And children are different. Some children do things and do everything to hide whatever they did. Just really work at it. And some are pretty successful. And some will do everything to get caught. Do you know what I mean? They'll leave a trail of evidence and probably deliberately because they want to get caught. They want to be reproved. They want to be corrected. Okay, there are both kinds of people. Well, God wants us to be the kinds of people who want to get caught and then get to a position where we don't want to sin. But if we do sin, we want to get caught. So make a point. Now, it's in nature when you're in sin, you don't want to come to the light. Sometimes you just have to program yourself into an automatic decision that you won't do if you get in a certain situation. Let's suppose, all I can think of is a flight training. Let's suppose there's a red handle that says eject on it. Now, you don't practice pulling the red handle. Yeah, but you program your head that if the lights go, red lights go in the cockpit or the smoke in the cockpit, then you don't debate about whether you pull the red handle. You are so trained that you're going to eject. Well, this is the sort of thing. When things are going good, program yourself to say, turn to the light, turn to the light, turn to the light. You know, so when something goes wrong, you just turn back to God. You just turn to the light or just think, walk in the light, walk in the light. Okay, walking in the light then would mean walking in the conscious presence of God, which will include things like reading the scripture, but not because you have to have a quiet time. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a disciplined quiet time, normally, but sometimes there is. We had a Jewish girl who became a Christian, PhD in classics. Her name was Marnie. Marnie probably spent 7 years at our house, from early morning to late at night, but she didn't stay. She didn't stay overnight, but she was there all the other time. And one day I said, Marnie, she's a very disciplined woman. She had, you know, her 80 sit-ups and her run a mile and a half and have her quiet time. And I said, Marnie, I'd like you to quit having your quiet time. Quit having my quiet time? How does a Christian survive without a quiet time? You know, how do you make it without a quiet time? I said, you're not doing really well with it. Having it apparently isn't cutting it. I want you to quit. Because she was having the quiet time as a legalistic practice of discipline. She wasn't meeting with the Lord Jesus. She wasn't walking in the light. She was just doing what she was supposed to do. That probably had some benefit. But she wasn't in the light. I said, you can have your quiet time again when you want to walk, when you want to meet with the Lord Jesus. When you want to. Oh, boy, that was just great. It was great both when she didn't have it and when she got back into heaven. But one of the things would be time with the Lord every single day. In the Word and in prayer. And then just get a habit so you pray. I am not a very good prayer when it comes to setting aside an hour and praying for an hour. I'm not very good at it. But I am much better at praying all the time than I am about set aside. So if I'm driving or thinking or wake up at night, you know, I talk to God about people mostly. I don't talk to God about me much unless I'm in trouble. But I talk to God about people. And one of the reasons walking in the light, talk to God about people, it's something Corey Ten... No, it wasn't Corey. It was Bill Steeper. In Hawaii years ago, he said, it was a wonderful thing when I got myself off my own hands. It was a wonderful day when I just turned me over to God. And then, and Corey said the same thing one time. You probably heard her say this, where she was riding in the back of this car and J. Edwin Orr was driving around the mountains in some awful speed. And she was terrified in the back seat, how he was. And she decided to spend the time interceding for other people. And when she prayed for others, her fear disappeared. No family is without problems. We all have them. And we have had our share of them. And but what has helped us with our problems is not being wrapped up in our problems. When we keep being in the light, interceding and being concerned about us, I don't have any time to be concerned about me. Probably the most wonderful thing in the last 2 years has been the birth and death of our little granddaughter, Alexa. Just wonderful. The baby was born, and the nurses were not breathing, and two of the nurses were in tears. And she was 2 weeks overdue, and two of the nurses were in tears. And the baby's 9 pounds, 10 ounces, and Meredith was pretty well torn up, or, you know, not torn up, but hurting pretty much. Long labor. And Meredith was comforting one nurse, and Gordon was comforting the other. And that's what it was for the next 15 months. And so much so, and they were day and night, and I know there were some tears. And then people would, well, we've heard it around the, you know, don't Gordon and Meredith care? Don't Jim and Bessie care? You know, because we weren't weeping all over the place all the time. And one of the reasons, when you give yourself to other people, God gives you extra grace. It's part of walking in the light. So you make choices. You make choices, and probably the basic choice is to always turn up. Don't ever turn in. Boy, when you turn in, it's a spiral staircase downhill. It's just a bobsled that Somebody has mentioned Edgar Allan Poe today. Falling fast and falling faster to his song when burden bore. Nevermore. just down like that. And that's what happened. Do not turn in. Turn up and turn out. You turn up in the light, even if you have to consciously look up to keep yourself from looking in. Second, you look out for the other person's benefit. You do not look out in an accusative fashion. There are all kinds of people out there doing bad things. Some of them affect you. You do not look out in an accusative fashion. If you end up in accusative, I'll tell you whose team you're on. That doesn't mean you don't recognize sin when you see it, but you may not be accusative. When you look up, you will end up being conscious of sin. But when you're conscious of it, it'll be taken care of right away. You'll be back in the joy of the Lord. When you look out, you'll be concerned about the other person for the other person's benefit. I don't know whether people, whether you like to sing. Some people don't like to sing because they think they can't sing, and maybe they cannot. I don't know. But one of the evidences of walking in the light is singing. Now, if you sing, that doesn't necessarily mean you walk in the light, but if you are walking in the light, you'll probably end up singing. And you'll be singing to the Lord, even if you don't, Doug was talking about church music, even if you don't know any great hymns. I know a young woman who had been converted several times and still hadn't been. And she had been to all of Bill Gothard and read every book in the bookstore and every counselor in town. And one day she came over to see me. And I'd just been reading Watchman Nee. Interrupted, and I just remembered the last couple sentences I read. And Watchman Nee said, two people can hear the same text of Scripture. Let's say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, one person will hear that text and said, oh, that's wonderful, and will come to the Father through Jesus Christ and be wonderfully saved. And the other person will come to, oh, what a wonderful doctrine, and come to the doctrine. Oh, what a wonderful sentence, and come to the sentence. And build his religion. Will not come to the Father, will come to the statement. And both will be in the same church. Both believing the same statement. But one came to the Father, and the other came to the truth. Just came to the statement. I said that to her. She said, how can you tell the difference? And then I mentioned it was the fruit of the Spirit, like we talked about yesterday. Well, she called me the next day, and she said, I'm not a Christian. I said, I didn't think so. And then she got mad because I agreed with her. I said, and I'm not going to tell you how to become one. Because you just go do it. You're a doer. You go plug the formula. And you've plugged it several times and nothing's happened. Because you come to the statement, you're a doer. You're not coming to the Father. You're not coming to the light. You come to the light, you have fellowship. So I'm not going to tell you because you just have no comprehension. All of these words that you know by heart are empty words. They're empty phrases. They don't mean anything. So for me, talking about grace and love and faith, so I'm just not going to tell you. I said, certain things you're going to have to know or find out before I tell you. You're going to have to find out that God is holy, just holy. And you're going to have to find out how awfully sinful you are. And you're going to have to find out how great the love of God is. And one day she called and she said, I'm just beginning to see God's holiness, but I cannot understand how he could love his son, Jesus Christ, and let him go to the cross. Oh, I said, it didn't say he did. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, she'd call on the phone, and I knew I had to communicate not the four spiritual laws, not the ABCs. I had to communicate some of these other truths. So I'd sing to her on the phone. I can't sing. I'd sing the deep, deep love of Jesus. I'd sing the love of God. Do you know that song? David Morgan sang it at her wedding. I'd sing the love of God. I'd open up the InterVarsity hymnal and read the words to her to communicate to her in poetry the love of God. Well, after a while, I think the conversion was real. And how was it real? One day, I think she was vacuuming or something, and she started singing that little chorus, "He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord." Saved. Okay, now, but what it was looking up. Salvation, it says, this is a salvation message earlier. This is the message we declare to you. So even for salvation, you want people to look up, see His holiness, see His love, and see their sin in the light of that. Well, after we're saved by grace through faith, and that's, they'll get into the obedience, walking in the light is a grace-faith event. There isn't any other way. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By effort? By trying? No, you quit trying when you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Is that right? And you trusted. Is that right? So when you quit trying and you trusted grace, the Lord changed your life. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The way of when I am saved, I come to the light. When I walk in the light. The same procedure by which I was saved is the way I live the Christian life. When I become a Christian, I quit trying. I quit trying to become one, and having become one, I quit trying. Living the Christian life is like being born again every instant. I know you probably haven't heard of that before unless I said it 3 years ago. Living the Christian life is like being born again every instant, because it's the same way. Grace, faith, grace, faith. You didn't try to get in, you don't try to live. You say, yes, I do. Well, I want to know, do you succeed? People come to me and say, Jim, I don't know why I fell. I tried to live the Christian life. Oh, I said, that's why. You fell because you tried to live the Christian life, and you're not to try to live the Christian life. Walking in the light is just like being born again. Grace, faith, grace, faith. And as soon as we're saved, we revert to trying. The whole book of Galatians is written against that. You say, oh, foolish Galatians, you idiots. Tell me how you got into this kingdom. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having been made alive by the Spirit, that you now are made perfect by the flesh, by trying? Now, I know we read these things in Scripture and just invert them and go back to trying. Walking in the light makes not only looking up, but rejecting try. Rejecting try. You say, well, if I don't try, I'll fall. If you do try, you'll fall. Questions? Yes.
Comment. At the end of the book of Job, it says God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends.
Oh.
That was a very important thing. First time I heard that.
Wait, isn't that great?
He went out and he started praying for the friends who were condemning him and saying there was something wrong with him because God was punishing him. He prayed for them, and that's when God turned the captivity and blessed him. He had to learn that lesson.
That's Old Testament. pre-law, really, and the whole atmosphere, the whole climate of the New Testament thinks and talks that way, and we read it, and we hear something else. It's almost as if we got a little translator that reinterprets everything we say into something that we can do. Now, there are all kinds of secrets out here of people teaching the deeper life or something, and people flock to them by the hundreds. And I think in most cases they're false and don't work. And I know this both is true and works, and people aren't flocking to it by the hundreds because they, the best I can think of is they don't want to walk in the light. They'd like some other quick fix that does it instead of walking in the light. They'd rather try. Or they'd rather have a periodic cleansing instead of walk.
But we're brought up to try. And so we can say, quit trying, just walk in the light. Somehow seems opposed to what we think we should be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, most people is.
Well, I'm an old trier. I mean, you know, I was an old charger, and somehow the Lord spared me. I mean, in my Christian life, I was a trier and a charger, and I'm probably, quote, doing a lot more with less effort than I used to do with effort.
I think trying goes along with being able to take credit also, part of the same thing.
Huh?
If you're trying to succeed at this, then you can take credit for it instead of not trying and giving God the credit for the change.
Mm-hmm. Well, when she said, it's so contrary, it probably doesn't make sense to have you, what I'm saying, you know, what I said this morning, but believe me, keep praying that say, God, help this make sense to me so I can reject the try and trust. Let's thank God. Father, we thank you for this time today we've had in your word. We pray that a few people will begin to walk in your light, walk in humility, trust you, not try. In Jesus' name, amen.